So on Sunday, the whole family would have a big breakfast together.
Mm-hmm. That would, like, as we grow older, like, I used to sing in the choir at 8:30 Mass. So I didn't want to eat breakfast. Maybe I had a glass of milk or juice, because we never drank coffee in the house. My father never drank coffee. My mother, one cup in the morning, that's all. But us kids, we weren't supposed, it wasn't good for us. Yeah. So we didn't have coffee. And then I go to church. Then when I come back, my dad had a whole stack of pancakes. We had pancakes every Sunday morning. And or cereal, but we never had this. We didn't have this kind of cereal they have now. And the only thing we had cold was cornflakes. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, it was all oatmeal that we had to cook.
And how about at dinner time or supper time? Does the whole family eat together every day?
Supper, yes. Mm-hmm. But lunch was, we were in school, or we'd fix a sandwich or something for lunch. But supper we did. We had to wait for Dad to come home mm-hmm. and have lunch. And we weren't supposed, we all sit on the table. And we weren't supposed to talk all during meal. And after we finished eating, whether there was any complaints or anything, and then we'd tell my dad. But as far as talking and eating, that was out. Betty used to do that at that time. All the people they were new, it was bad manners to talk.
To talk mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So no one talked at all? Did your mother and father talk during dinner?
No. We had all the food on the table. And if there was something missing, then my mom would know mm-hmm. before we didn't even have to ask. See? So everything was on the table. We didn't have to get up for nothing. She'd set the whole table. We had a big table. See? And after we were all finished, well, then we could talk to my dad or my mother. Hmm. Or if some of us would be sitting on the table talking to my parents, well, then you can be excused. One of us would be excused. My dad didn't say, okay. If nobody wanted anything to say, well, we'll all finish and go out and play.
So you would leave the table and your mother would clear it by herself? Or would one of the kids help her?
Well, the other kids help. Now when my sister started growing up, she would stay right next to my mother. They'd go out and play. And she didn't have to. Mm-hmm. My mother would do that. She didn't complain. Mm-hmm. She didn't need no help. Mm-hmm. Up to now, she don't like nobody in the kitchen. Because she's going to be 91. She still lives in her own apartment. Now she's beginning to, like, I had her here with me for about 2 weeks. She lost control and she couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. But now she's at it again. She never let anybody in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. If she was cooking or washing dishes.
Mm-hmm. That was her job.
That was her job. And she enjoyed it. She's 90. Mm-hmm. And the doctor amazed. They can't find no arthritis, no high blood pressure, no nothing. She's never been in the hospital. Nothing. Just old age. She wasn't eating enough. Mm. That's what's wrong with her. That was wrong with her. She wasn't eating and she wasn't drinking enough water.
Tell me about when you first came to Los Angeles, you mm-hmm. lived in an apartment. And mm-hmm. then you said your father, as more and more kids came, you got a house that you lived in?
When we first came to Los Angeles, we lived with my dad's family mm-hmm. for a while, till my dad would get back on the mm-hmm. street. And after that, we rent an apartment, because houses were very hard to find at that time. And even apartments, they were hard to, where they would take in children. Mm-hmm. But right down Colby Street, on 7th Street, there were, that's all it was, apartments and families that were coming in, then families were coming in. So it was a Japanese lady that was managing the apartment and her husband. Mm-hmm. And my dad, they asked him how many children he had. So we were four. And my dad told her we were two, we were only two. So, okay, she went up, he rented the apartment to my dad. And we walked in at night, so we had, of course, one was a baby. Manuel, my brother, was a little baby. So that didn't last very long. About 2 weeks, she found out that the baby was crying. And no, we stayed there for a long time. We stayed there from 1920, the later part of 1920, till 1922.
Mm-hmm.
Then a friend of my dad rented my house.
Then it was still in the same neighborhood?
It was still in the same neighborhood. But it wasn't very big.
Mm-hmm.
So then in about a year later, another friend had another house for rent, and this was a nice home, and it was 3 bedrooms, and he liked it much better, because we was getting older, I was getting to be a teenager, and he wanted me to have a nice place so my friends would come in to see me, and then we moved in there, and then from there, across to the end of the street on Ceres Avenue, they put this big apartment for sale. It used to be a duplex. You know what duplex was? For one living quarter here. So there was only one family living there. So my dad said, gee, that place, you want to look at it, that place is big and it's nice. It even has a fireplace. So then I said, we all said, oh, let's go look at it. So we did, and we all liked it. So then we looked for the landlord. He was a wealthy man from Pasadena, Mr. Brown. So he rented the place for $30 a month. He asked my dad how many children he had. No, you can have it for $30 a month. Okay. So then these people that used to live upstairs moved out. I don't know if they moved some other place or they went away. I can't remember. I think they left California. And so the whole place was empty. And then Mr. Brown said, well, you can have the whole place for $30. If you want to make a little part, whatever you want to do. My dad thought he was an angel from heaven. So my dad stood there for a long time, paying $30 a month.
And how did you arrange it? And part of the family lived upstairs and part downstairs?
No, we were all home yet. We weren't married yet. I mean, I was the first one to get married, and we were living down there.
Who lived upstairs?
We had the whole place on one side on the first floor, and then my dad rent half of the places to different people.
I see.
So he was making extra money there. So he saved the money to pay Mr. Brown, you know, that he had rent the place. And Mr. Brown said, no, you just give me $30 a month. I don't need the money. You need it for the children. You know, I think he was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, in about 5 years later, he made my dad a proposition that he would sell him the home, that place. And my father bought it.
And this was, what, right before you were married then?
Yes, right mm-hmm. before I was married, right.
And how many apartments were there all together then?
Well, let me see. There were...
You were describing the apartments for me. How many apartments were there?
Well, let me see. He made 3, 6... Six.
Mm-hmm.
Six little.
And then when you were married, you lived in one of those apartments when you were first married.
Mm-hmm. Well, for about 6 months, we lived in another apartment. And then my dad says, well, I have a little place for you. So he fixes a place, and we lived there for a while. Then I wanted to move to Huntington Park.
Why did you want to move?
Well, I wanted to get away from the neighborhood, and Huntington Park was a thing at that. Who are you from? Excuse me for asking.
Well, I'm originally from Chicago, but I've been in Los Angeles since, I've been in California since 1953 and in Los Angeles since 56, but always way over on the west side.
But you never was here before 56,
so
you know what it was then, but I'll tell you what it was. And Huntington Park was, everybody wanted to live in Huntington Park. And that's where I spent my honeymoon, in Huntington Park. And you had status when you moved from Huntington Park. So I lived in Huntington Park for about 3 months.
And where did you live exactly there?
It was little, had a little court, you know, one of the houses, it was a little court. And, after 5 months, I was lonely. I wanted to come back home.
Did you know anyone in Huntington Park?
Yeah, well, my husband had his family in Huntington Park. So I used to cry. I wanted to come back home. And finally, one day I was real mad at my husband. Then I called my dad, come and take me home. I want to go. And my dad, now I have to laugh. And which my dad did. He was, what's the matter? Oh, he's mean. I can't stand him. It was just, I just wanted to go back home. So then I went back home. My husband did too. And my dad fixed us an apartment. And I stood there. Until 1947.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let me ask you a couple of other things about New Mexico and your earlier years too, before we start the war. First, let me ask you what your wedding was like when you got married to Samuel.
Oh, I didn't have a big wedding. I just got married, you know, but...
Was it in church or with the Justice of Peace?
The Justice of Peace, yeah.
And you mentioned several times the piano, taking piano lessons, uh-huh. And you talked about the $50 on the piano. Uh-huh. Was that starting in New Mexico or when you came to Los Angeles?
No, I was a teenager. In Los Angeles.
And how did you become interested in
the
piano?
I used to like piano. I used to like to sing, and I used to like piano. I wanted to, and then at that time, everybody in school, all the girls, used to take some kind of instrument, music. And we didn't have music in school, because Catholic schools don't teach you music.
Oh, I see. So you would take it outside.
Uh-huh. We had a private tutor to come.
Did anyone else in the family play the piano? Or just
no, just me. Uh-huh.
But, and the family bought a piano then?
Yeah, my dad bought me a piano, yeah. But nobody else was interested, mm-hmm. Just only me.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was that.
What, do you remember you talked about going to the movies?
Uh-huh.
What sorts of movies you liked to see in those early days?
Well, I'll tell you something. I think that the movie stars, the old-timers, like Ronald Reagan and... Bob Hope, Bing Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Bing Crosby is old, and Bob Hope are older than we are. But everybody that's around my age, the Joan Crawford and all those movie stars of that era, I think we grew up together. When they were, when the movies were young too at that time, and when they first started coming in, why? Of course, the movie stars that made those movies, like Rodolfo Valentino, Paula Negri, Mary O'Brien, and all those I were older, and then all these young ones started coming in from different, I think Ronald Reagan didn't come till the 30, 35, or 37, and Bing Crosby and all of them.
Did you go to the movies very frequently?
Oh, yes, because we thought of something great, you know, the movies when they first, it was silent movies.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
talking. Are there any movie stars that made an impression on you and that you tried to copy in any way?
Oh, yes, practically all of them. John Crawford and Norma Shearer. In fact, I named my daughter after Norma Shearer because I liked her name. And well, there were so many. Most of them I did now.
What? How did you view them as women? What did you think of them?
Oh, they were so beautiful because they were so elegant. See, everybody was elegant at that time. We tried to, you know, we try.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I my dad would never take any of my money because they knew at that time women were very, very elegant. And I always wanted the best of shoes, the best of everything. And he couldn't afford it, so I of course at that time a pair of shoes that cost $100 now we'd get it for about $20,
mm-hmm.
$15. See, everything was cheaper than it is now. Angora sweaters even up to the 50s, because that's all I used to buy my daughter. We used to get them for $8.95, and look at now how much they cost. So it was everything was
mm-hmm.
really different.
Now, how about things like the radio and reading materials?
Uh-huh.
Would you listen to the radio in those, say,
No, in the 20s we didn't have radio. I think they were barely starting to. Maybe they did have radio, but
the family, you don't remember. No.
I remember my cousin. He's about my age now. That he used to be having in the garage. He used to try. I think that's when they were starting with the radio.
Uh-huh.
He used to get cans and put strings, and we. I used to talk over here, and he could hear me. So I think that's when the telephones and the radio and all that started coming in.
And what sort of things would you read as a teenager? Do you recall?
I never did like true stories and true romances and things like that. I used to like philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I used to try and get all the books that I could on philosophy, today's philosophy, and astrology books and things like that, and autobiography from people that live way in other eras. I used to like to read that, and history. I have always loved history. I should take up major in history.
Well, you still can. How would you spend your time as a teenager before you started working, say? Because you had the piano. You said you were earlier, when you were younger, you liked sports. You liked going to the movies. You did some reading. How would you spend your time as a teenager? Which of those activities interested you the most, would you say?
Reading. And doing things with my hands, like embroidering. I used to love to embroider. But I never did like to cook or wash dishes or clean house.
How did you learn to embroider? Who taught you?
My mother,
she
could crochet real nice too. So, but I like embroidery more than anything else.
Now, how did your life change when you started working at the age of 17 then?
Well, I started having more freedom. More out of life, and I always aimed for the best. I didn't like anything that was ugly, and because things like that would make me sick. Even now, when I see anything, when I walk in somebody's house or something, and it's all in confusion, and it just makes me sick. Even my own home, that's me, but I have to learn how to cope with, because really, life is not that
I live.
No. So ever since that, now I look back, and there's a lot of faith that I had when I was growing up, they're still with me. But now I'm an adult, now I'm a senior citizen now.
So it sounds like basically going to work and leaving school was a real change. You became an adult, in effect, in terms of what you were able to do.
Yes. But you see, at that time, I don't know, our parents didn't want us to grow too fast.
Mm-hmm.
We were growing, but we were growing like sex.
Did you know it? Did they teach you anything about
sex? Well, they tell us that there's something very sacred, and something that you didn't do until you married. You know, the boy wasn't supposed to touch you at all, and no part of your body. Because in later years, I learned that you were supposed to kiss. But that's how we. And the boys, we didn't think about sex. We were too busy playing or dancing or canoeing, or doing things that sex wasn't. See, and like I say, we knew the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys were taught that you have to respect the girls, because the parents used to tell them, see, you have sisters. So you have to treat those girls like you do with your sisters. So you see? But now in later years, like in the 30s, even after I was married, then I noticed there was a little change, even in girls, you know, and there's a few having babies without getting married. But I accept that that was part of living, part of life. I don't say, oh my goodness, no, it's just, everybody's different. And I've been going along with each generation. That's why I get along with the generation now, the young ones now. Because my years were similar to the ones now. It's the ones in between that now they're getting more used to it. But for a while, they would condemn the children.
Well, tell me, before you married, were there any girls in the neighborhood? or that you knew from school who would get pregnant before they were married?
No, I never did know any other girls, not at all.
When you married, did you know anything at all about sex life?
No. It took 4 days for my husband to touch me. I slept with dress and all. I was glad. If that wall would have, if I could have told that then, I would. But he was nice though. He never, we were both greenhorns, I guess. I don't know. We were raised different anyway. We had more respect for each other.
Well, how about when you started menstruating? Did you learn anything then? Were you prepared for it at all?
Oh, yes, because my grandmother and my mother, you know, tell us what it was all about. And my grandmother used to, because we didn't have no Kotex or stuff like that, but they used to make, my grandmother used to make their own. So yeah, I was prepared for that.
But
was
they told you beforehand?
Yeah, when I became certain age, you know, that I was approaching menstruation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was well aware of that, and what happened if things go, you don't have it. And then another, you know, after I started menstruating, about 8 months afterwards, my menstruation stopped for 6 months. Well, it bothered me. I figured, gee, that's good. I know I didn't do anything wrong. So my mother, I think she used to look at my and the land, what happened? Didn't you menstruate? I says, no, I haven't menstruated for about 5 months. Oh, my goodness, her eyes are this big. And oh, do you, I just wonder, what's the matter? Well, I guess I have to take you to the doctor. Something must be wrong. I says, okay, take me to the doctor. So she did. She took me to the doctor. But no, the doctor told her that it was something that happened. You know, that usually you menstruate and then he stopped for a long time and then come back, but that's other. And he wanted to examine me. And, oh, no, I wouldn't let him touch me. No, oh,
he was
convinced
that you were pregnant?
Well, you know, maybe her mind, you never know. Maybe she had an idea that I was. But I know how, I didn't tell her because I just didn't think of it.
How old were you when you started menstruating and all this happened?
I think I was about 13.
Mm-hmm.
About 13. I started menstruating early.
And did you talk about it with your other friends?
Yeah, with the girls, you know. You know, we always say, gee, just what, I started menstruating. Big, you know, big deal, as they say. And that's how we, that was, we, as far as sex, we never brought it up too much. Even now, even in my age, mm-hmm. I don't discuss this because sex is something beautiful to me and sacred. I was taught that way, but now they just, it's vulgar now, it's, I don't know, it's just the way I was brought up, not a difference.
There's one other thing I wanted to go back to, Salem, and then we'll start with the Warriors, well, a little bit before the Warriors, I had some questions. You mentioned when right after we stopped last time, an incident when you were young, going with your grandmother or grandfather
mm-hmm.
in the wagon
mm-hmm.
that you were going to tell me about.
Oh, yes. I showed the pictures of the wagon in there
mm-hmm.
that I went to, but it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my, my grandmother was supposed to be my mother's sister. She wasn't supposed to have children. That's why my real grandfather gave my mother to my grandmother.
Oh, I see.
Because she was going just across the border in New Mexico, and so she wouldn't be lonely. So my mother, she took care of my mother when she was just a little baby. And the doctor told her she could never have children. 20 years later, she had a son. After being married 20 years, she had a son. So he grew up, and he got married. Then he moved to Miami, Arizona. So my grandparents didn't hear from him for a long, long time. They were very concerned about him. Someone told him that he lived in Miami, Arizona. So my grandparents decided to take a trip to Arizona on that little wagon, horse and wagon. So they asked my daddy if they could take me, and they said, okay, because I used to go everywhere with them. So here we, I don't know how many days it took, because now when I tell that story, they say, I wonder how long it took you to get an item. Don't ask me. All I remember Well, my they were talking. See, I was sitting in the middle. And my grandpa was the driver, and my grandma. And all I would hear them say about the Indian, and I could see my grandpa would hit that little horses, and here we go. So then all of a sudden I turn around, and who do I see? This Indian coming with his feathers. I don't remember if I got scared or what did I do? Or I thought it was a lot of fun. I don't remember. So that's all I remember. I don't know how we arrived in Miami with my uncle. I don't know what happened after that.
How old were you then?
Oh, I must have been 1916. I must have been around 5 years old.
Okay, let me
Well, the